Morning and Evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. September 14th, morning. Our Admiral and other little boats were also with them. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Jesus was the Lord High Admiral of the sea that night, and his presence preserved the entire convoy. It is well to sail with Jesus, even in a small boat. When we sail in Christ's company, we may not be guaranteed fair weather, for great storms tossed the vessel that carried our Lord. We must not expect to find the sea less boisterous around our little boat. If we go with Jesus, we must be content to fare as he fares. When the waves are rough to him, they will be rough to us. It is by tempest and tossing that we will reach land, as he did before us. When the storm swept over Galilee's dark lake, all hearts feared shipwreck. When all human help was useless, the slumbering Savior arose and with a word transformed the riot of waves into the deep quiet of calm. Then all the little vessels were at rest. Jesus is the star of the sea. Though there be sorrow on the sea, when Jesus is on it, there is also joy. May our hearts make Jesus the anchor, the rudder, the lighthouse, the lifeboat, and even the harbor. His church is his flagship. Let us watch her movements and cheer her officers with our presence. The Lord High Admiral is her great attraction. Let her follow in his wake, mark his signals, steer by his chart, and never fear while he is within calling distance. Not one ship in the convoy will be wrecked. The great admiral will steer every vessel safely to the desired haven. This morning, let us by faith slip our cables off the dock for another day's cruise and sail with Jesus. Winds and waves may not spare us, but they will obey him. Therefore, whatever squalls may occur without, faith will feel a blessed calm within. He is ever in the center of the weather-beaten company. Let us rejoice in him. His vessel has reached the haven, and so will ours. September 14th, evening. The Penitent. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 32, verse 5. David's grief for sin was bitter. Its effects were visible on his body. My bones grew old, he said in Psalm 32, 3. My vitality has turned into the drought of summer, he said in Psalm 32, 4. David could not find a remedy until he made a full confession before the throne of heavenly grace. He tells us that during the time he kept silent, his heart became more and more filled with grief. Like a mountain spring whose outlet is blocked, his soul was swollen with torrents of sorrow. he made excuses and tried to divert his thoughts. But it was all to no purpose. Like a festering sore, his anguish gathered. He would not use the lance of confession, and his spirit was tormented until it knew no rest. At last it came to him. He must return to God in humble penitence or die. He hastened to the mercy seat and there unrolled the volume of his iniquities before the all-seeing one. He acknowledged his evil ways in the language of the 51st and other penitential psalms. Having done this, a work so simple and yet so difficult because of pride, he immediately received the token of divine forgiveness. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. Psalm 51:8. David rose from his knees singing the blessedness of one whose transgressions are forgiven. See the veil of a confession produced by grace. Mercy is freely given, not because the repentance and confession deserve mercy, but for Christ's sake. Blessed be God. There is always healing for the broken heart. The fountain is always flowing to cleanse our sins. Truly, O God, you are a God ready to pardon. Therefore, we will acknowledge our iniquities.